When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Great one, Sean. 38 special. I would never think that that would be in your repertoire.
I actually love 38 Special, but that was actually a request from a listener. She listens every day. Her name's Kathleen. DM'd me on Instagram.
What?
Yep. She seems like a very nice lady.
Slid into the DMs.
Not like that.
You seem to know a lot about her. Everyday listener, her name.
Yeah, she sent it in the message. She says, I listen every day on the Odyssey app.
I see. Is that why your phone is turned upside down when you're around Lauren?
My phone's never turned upside down. She has the passcode to my phone.
Gotti said it the best.
That is simp special right there.
What do you mean? I have nothing to hide, Greg. Well, okay, it's not being a simp. It's being completely open.
She doesn't need the passcode to your phone.
If I'm driving and I need her to text somebody.
I do not.
Really?
Wow. No. She doesn't need it. Like, trust is what exists.
It's not that it's not a trust thing. It's just more of a...
It's a simp thing.
No, it's where
I have nothing to hide.
Right.
What
if you drop dead and she needs to call people from your phone? Her phone's not with you.
I hope she would call 911.
With her phone, but she can't get into the phone.
Courtney, of all the things that you could say, like dropping dead, what does Greg care? He's dead.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, like a heart attack. You're not dead yet.
No. It's more like, hey, Greg's in the bathroom. Oh, I need your phone. I got to call such and such real quick. It's on the counter.
I would tell her the thing.
There's no way Greg's using the bathroom and the phone's not in his hand.
I just don't immediately go, here's the code to my phone in case you need it. Like, it's just
neither
not,
do I. I was driving. I needed her to text somebody. Right. So I said, here, that's my code. Punch it in. And it's not a hard code
Did
to remember.
Did she see all the rando DMs that you have in there, apparently, from chicks who listen to the radio show?
Yeah, I have a lot. I have chicks and dudes, Greg. I have people of all kinds DMing me on the reg.
Really? I love it, Sean.
Pause.
All right.
No pause necessary.
It goes down in the DM.
Are we getting to the pause that was heard around New England yesterday during They Said It?
Yeah, we will definitely get to hear that today.
What's your Instagram, Shime? Give everybody a heads up so they
Shime
can follow
Time 12.
You. A lot of disappointment that you weren't there last night.
I know. I had some family stuff come up that I had to take care of. Otherwise, I would have loved to have been there.
Yeah. But the listeners were like, wait a minute. Shime's not here. He lives so close. But we'll get you out. Mm-hmm. Snow shows coming up, road shows, et cetera. All right. There are leads left, and then we're going to get to They Said It at 7:20. That's a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Kendrick Perkins has been a guy who's been critical of Jason Tatum in the past. But after Tatum's explosive performance in the Celtics win over the Cavs on Tuesday, he's now apologizing to the guy and kind of echoing what Wiggy and Mego were saying yesterday.
Jason Tatum, I apologize because we should mention your name more often when it comes down to the three letters of MVP, okay? We talk about everybody else, but we don't talk about this man who constantly, night in and night out, is flirting with 30-point triple-doubles, okay? And I think we take away from him for the simple fact of the talent that's around him. But the way that he's been taking over games, we know that he's a walking bucket. We know that he improved his three-point shooting, his form or whatever, which helped his three-point shooting. But on top of that, it's the rebounding for me.
Yeah.
Right? It's the double-figure rebounds that he's getting a game, but he's not averaging. But every night he's going out there.
You know, Tatum has always been a good rebounder in big games. It's one of the things that does get overlooked in his resume.
Dude trying to get his invite back to get his feet on the parquet.
You could look at it that way, or you could look at the fact that it is Jason Tatum's year. This is a guy who's been, the MVP chants have been going on for years now, but he's continued to improve every single season. And I don't know what it is about this Celtics team that hits a nerve for the national media, because whether it's winning a championship and people immediately pointing to the fact that they took on teams that were banged up and hurt, or the fact that Jason Tatum is only great because of the talent around him, It doesn't make sense to me, but this is Jason Tatum's year.
Mm, Courtney, great lead. Thank you.
Wiggy,
good morning.
All right, good morning. So this is interesting to me. When you start to look at WNBA and what it potentially could be doing, there's a few things that I look at and I say, man, you might be missing out on capitalizing. I obviously think that this season should be starting up right now. Women's college basketball started up. Men's college basketball. We're kind of into it with the NBA. You'd be right in the mix with everybody else. But we know this season doesn't start until like May or June or something along those lines. I think it's June. You look at there's a group out in Cleveland trying to bring a WNBA team out there. We've heard reports Jason Tatum wants to try to get a WNBA team to St. Louis. I tell you, what's going on with the WNBA right now, they really have to say, let's capitalize off of some of this momentum that we have and maybe think about changing our season. The other thing that I think is going to be another uphill battle, and I hate that she's going to have to go through it, is Caitlin Clark. The unrivaled basketball, 3-on-3 women's basketball league starts January 17th. It's an 8-week season, and what you're going to have is you're going to have a lot of the good players that are in the WNBA going to be playing in it, so they're going to use that to capitalize. But Caitlin Clark has said she does not want to play in it. So these women are already jealous of her. And so, you know, she's already putting a bigger target on her back. I think it would have been smart if she played in it because it helps the league. And even though she's got to deal with all the nonsense, she has to realize, okay, I'll take your slings and arrows, but I'm going to...
So you think she's making a mistake by not participating?
Well, she might not be making a mistake personally, but she's going to have to deal with all the nonsense of the backlash because people are going to tune into the Unrivaled League because it's a lot of good female WNBA players in it. Angel Reese, Kelsey Plum. So it would be something that's going to be entertaining come January, and it's only 8 weeks.
Okay. All right, Wiggy. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Don Sweeney spoke yesterday, press conference after the firing of Jim Montgomery. Shime addressed that in his lead. That was not the most important part of the day yesterday for me, though. What was more important was what the players that are in that dressing room said. And in particular, what David Pastrnak said. Shime, I have that audio in there, by the way. And, you know, Wiggy has boldly suggested that it might be time to trade David Pastrnak. After both press conferences yesterday, Don Sweeney's and Joe Sacco's, the new head coach, here is what David Pastrnak said.
Well, very simple. How I said, the compete and the battleness and the pride to wear this Bruin jersey has to go higher. It's been there forever. You know, we have to take pride in the jersey, and you know, it starts with compete and details, and then the bigger things will follow up.
So, it seems like from the outside, at least, what they're saying, that those guys understand that they're with the spoke to be comes an obligation, and that is to give it your all, and that they have not been doing that, apparently. I don't know why they haven't been doing that. I think we're going to hear from Charlie McAvoy and from Brad Marchand. Curtis, you alluded earlier to Brad Marchand, what he said afterwards. We're going to hear some of that during They Said It Part 1 and Part 2, but...
Where was this when the coach was here?
Great question.
They didn't like the coach.
But they all take it personally that he was fired. That you make that make sense.
Right. And so I ask you about David Pastrnak. Is he just saying what he thinks we want to hear?
This crew's just a bunch of losers. Like, it's never their fault. The second the attention goes to their play that cost the coach their job, they act like they're these good dudes saying, you know, I just wish him the best. I just wish we did more for him. Well, the last 2 weeks, he has been on the stake. Everybody's known that his job is on the line. Even your least hockey insider, Chris Curtis, has been sitting here saying it was going to happen. You could have played better. You could have publicly supported him. You were silent and your play sucked. You were tacit in his dismissal, and now you're acting like you're, oh my God, you know, just shut up. Honestly, like, play well or own it. Like, he wasn't a good coach. It didn't work. It's okay. He's going to get another job. I wish him the best.
And I know, I love when athletes, especially, I guess it's like a double-edged sword for being in Boston and our city, like where the great history and fan base and everything like that Boston sports teams have, they all the players revert to, well, we got to take pride in that B that's across our chest, you know? I mean, the
but they haven't. Curtis is right.
Right,
they haven't taken that pride in it. They basically mailed the season in so far. Don Sweeney said they mailed in. They mailed in training camp. Like they,
the last two seasons, they won one playoff game and got two people fired. One playoff series and got two people fired. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. They eliminated in the first round in Monty's first year. They got eliminated in the second round last year. They're on their third coach.
And I, like I said, I don't know. I, as a former athlete, that's what you say to get the fans on your side. But no one buys into the B on the logo on the front of the jersey. Everybody's like, well, you know what? We don't like this coach. Guess what? We're not going to play for him. No matter what the logo is on the front of the jersey. You know, it looks like they're taking pride in every time they step on the ice. The Florida Panthers. Yeah. They're not an original six team. They're not like, they don't have this story, franchise history. But guys, players will always use it to be like, this is how we get the fans on our side so they don't criticize us. No. We're going to take pride in it now.
All right. Well, we'll get to what Brad Marchand said coming up during They Said It. Also, what Mike McDaniel said about our savior, D-May, and other things coming up right now, Courtney, and what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. A big congratulations to Chris Sale, who won the National League Cy Young Award last night. The 35-year-old is the first Braves player to win the award since 1998.
What a crazy career for Chris Sale.
Yeah.
I mean, dominant with the White Sox, that he cuts up his jersey, comes here, wins a World Series, then falls off a bike, and boom, he wins a Cy Young in Atlanta.
And the Red Sox are entitled to half of this Cy Young, correct?
That's correct. Good. They get it on the weekend.
What the hell was this?
They're paying him. They paid him $17 million this past season, correct?
That's correct.
All right, okay.
Talk about somebody who didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
Tells me he was sandbagging it when he was here.
I think he fell off a bike.
No,
hard.
Falling off a bike, stop it. And then he hasn't been able to throw a baseball forever, but as soon as he gets to Atlanta,
yeah,
no issues.
Wiggy is so right. There should be a study on the David Price, Chris Sale treatment versus performance. One guy was the biggest absolute a-hole in Boston history, and the other we all liked, even though they were both the same.
The Bruins have a game tonight. They have Utah at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7, and Thursday Night Football has the Steelers at the Browns. Kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI. And it's here. The prime rib dinner is back at the Nines. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA choice prime rib served with your choice of two sides. Available every Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the Nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
My phone keeps going to Jupiter. I feel bad. It's going to be 80 on Thanksgiving. Sorry. Oh. 47 in Boston. Rain. Afternoon high 45.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Don Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
Time for They Said It Part 1, and then the news with Courtney coming up in 15 minutes at 7:45. And there is, I was unaware, but there is apparently a DEFCON 5 stuffing crisis in this country in advance of Thanksgiving.
Not good.
Oh, gosh.
Not, no.
Nope.
Not good.
Not
so
good.
So,
thoughts and prayers.
Will, those who are intending to starch themselves up. may have an issue. But where do you want to start when it comes to They Said It this morning?
What table is Bill's girlfriend sitting at?
I would assume she's probably doing the cooking. I mean,
is he usually a Nantucket guy on Thanksgiving?
I think he is. Oh. Yes, I think he is.
The Bidens and the Belichicks will be dining.
It's the Bidens and the Belichicks on Nantucket for Turkey Day. Where do you want to start?
Well, Greg, the big news of the week was Jim Montgomery's firing by the Boston Bruins. Brad Marchand, the captain of your Bruins team, spoke in the locker room to media yesterday following the Don Sweeney press conference and the Joe Sacco press conference. conference and everything. And here is what Marchand said about the Monty firing.
Very disappointing day. You know, also very frustrating. This is a reflection of our, you know, our play, and it was avoidable. And I think that's the tough part about this, is that if we would have done our job in here, you know, he'd still be around. And we also feel terrible as a group, individually, that, you know, we let a really good coach and a really good person down, you know, and the effect it has, not just on him, but on his family, you know. So, yeah, it's a crappy day.
So let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
If he says that a week ago, is Monty still here?
No.
I think he is.
You think so?
I think if he's public and he says this is not on the coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if he said it's on us, we're not giving it the effort that we should be giving it.
Mm-hmm.
We came into the season looking at how we had performed the prior two seasons and thought we could mail it in until Christmas or whatever. Yeah, I guess.
You just heard is the equivalent of a guy grabbing his card when he sees his dinner mate signing the check, where you're acting as though you want to own something, but you had the opportunity to over and over again, and you neglected to.
Yeah, it was wild to me that Don Sweeney yesterday was up there talking about how training camp was so horrible. And nobody has said that, you know, at all. And then he went on to say that he thought these guys basically came into camp and thought they didn't need to work hard, that they were basically resting on their laurels from the greatest regular season in the history of the NHL, blah, 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 blah. It's like where was Don Sweeney? Where was Cam Neely? If Jim Montgomery was unable to get to those guys, well, why weren't one of the other two able to go in there and be like, dude, like, you guys are... We have high expectations, and if you can't do it, we're going to ship you out of here.
That season was also 2 years ago now.
Correct.
You have like a handful of very different players on this team than what was on that team 2 years ago. So, like, to me, it doesn't
equate.
No.
That's a cop-out. Just why don't you be honest and say we did not like the coach, and we didn't want to play for him?
Right.
Just say, like, listen, you know what? Whatever it was that, you know, made the relationship between Monty and the players where it was affecting what was on the ice.
But Don Sweeney, Shime said flat out during his lead that Don Sweeney was being disingenuous yesterday. Not about this, but so was he being disingenuous when he said that Jim Montgomery had not lost the locker room?
Yes, he was being dishonest. And I would also say, is it a surprise to anybody that the Bruins' results remain subpar when this is the accountability you see at the highest levels? Your captain and your general manager each being totally dishonest and failing to just say that Don Sweeney's roster wasn't good enough and the players didn't like Monty enough to save his job. That's what happened. The roster's not great, not put together properly, which is Sweeney's fault, and the players could have played better but chose not to because they wanted a new coach.
And Sweeney just says, hey, listen, we missed on Zadorov, and it looks like we have early
and missed on
Lindholm.
On Lindholm.
Maybe we went after the wrong guys, but it's, you know, hopefully they can get out of it because we signed them to multi-year.
Well, he's kind of pointed to, he said there was a transitional period for both. There's a transitional period when you come to it. And by the way, both of those guys have been in the league for a long time. Like, the transitional period should be a day. Like, you figure out where the North End is, transitioning, like, they've been playing hockey their entire lives. Like,
but so, I heard Jones say this yesterday, and maybe it's right. He was like, well, we don't know what these guys were like fans. Like, we didn't really know. Maybe they went after, like, we used to do it all the time with Belichick. Maybe they went after the wrong free agents. Like, why are you going after these guys that maybe we didn't see? And but if you ask,
well, because Don Sweeney wanted the team to get big and tough, and in today's NHL, that's not how you win really anymore. I mean, that's certainly the case with Zadorov. I mean, but when it comes to penalties, like, this team has taken more penalties this season than any Bruins team in the last 15 years, I would guess. And so that's a coaching thing and a player thing.
And do you want to know how Don Sweeney has been disingenuous, Greg? Because he says Jim Montgomery didn't lose the locker room, or claims Jim Montgomery didn't lose the locker room, and then yet says that all these guys didn't come in prepared and didn't have a good training camp. Well, who's in charge of training camp? The head coach.
Right.
And so, like, what did he not have the ear of the players to get them going during training camp, or did he lose the locker room? Pick one or the other.
Yeah.
It's like you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth.
All right. During They Said It Part 2 at 9, we'll hear from Charlie McAvoy. What's next?
Next, let's pivot over to a little bit more of a happier space for us. That would be Drake May and the New England Patriots, because their opponent this week is the Miami Dolphins. Head coach of the Miami Dolphins, our favorite guy, Mike McDaniel, talked about what he's seen from Drake May so far. And I would say, Greg, put him in the Sean McVay camp. Here's another guy ready to gush about Drake May.
I saw a true quarterback who has the ability to, I don't know, gain the confidence of his teammates and lead and orchestrate an offense. I saw a guy that can make plays in a multitude of ways. I think the Patriots are kind of feeling that right now, where he's, a guy that can see down the field, can play fearlessly in the pocket and make every throw with the arm strength to do it, but then also is a very good athlete that has some juice and can make plays off schedule. And I think that's been a huge bonus to their offense as of late. That had some explosive plays, whether he threw it outside the pocket or he scrambled outside the pocket. And he's a guy that you expect to continue to get better. Is impressive. It's always impressive when rookie quarterbacks make plays on the NFL level, just because there's a lot coming at them. They just learned the foreign language like a handful of months ago, and are doing it in live action with guys that are trying to inflict pain on you.
That's the franchise. Right. He's the franchise. It's so interesting to me. You heard, and I was on an island, clearly. You heard none of this from anybody about Mac Jones. Like,
not even close.
It was the complete opposite.
Absolutely nothing from
At this time of his rookie year, there was not a lot of negative takes on Mac Jones.
But there weren't guys like that gushing about Mac Jones.
Do you remember that Cowboys game where he threw the bomb for 80 yards that sent it to overtime?
Kendrick Bourne.
Only gushing we got was Bill Belichick going into his second season saying that, what was the word he
dramatic
used?
Improvement.
That was the only time, really.
And
that
maybe
I heard.
Boomer might have said he...
better than Trevor Lawrence.
He has Brady-type traits early.
And then he called
rookie.
Him a douche.
Yeah, so it's kind of
then he said he had douche-like tendencies. Yeah.
Sean and I were saying this at the time of Mac Jones, and nobody wanted to listen to us. We were saying the thing that we had an issue with, he had his ceiling. He had basically hit the top of his ceiling.
Yeah. The ceiling for Drake May is so much higher.
Right, where now
you haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah. Right, that's the difference between when you look at Drake May and Mac Jones or some other players that we were talking about at the Mac Jones time.
Also interesting to me, if the whispers are correct, that Mike McDaniel was the darling of the league for the last couple of seasons, and now his job is on the line, at least some are saying. If they're not a playoff team down there.
Yeah, I don't think they fire him this year.
I think
there's been too much chaos with the Tua injuries and stuff.
You wouldn't be surprised, Wiggy?
No, because there's, when I was on Local in Hollywood, Florida, for that little bit of time I had to do my event down there, bumped into a lot of Miami fans, especially at our sister station down there, people who cover the team. A lot of everybody's ready for Mike McDaniel. His shtick has worn on fans and people cover the team, ready for them to move on from this guy. And I told you, that could potentially be another landing spot for Bill.
So the hacky sack vape, I'm always stoned shtick is not working at this point, unless they're a playoff team.
Right, yeah. And you know who? I don't think they're going to move on from him, but let's say they don't make the playoffs. What are people going to start saying about Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco?
He's not going anywhere.
No, I didn't say he was going anywhere. But, sooner or later, it's like Jim Harbaugh. Is it Jim or John? Which one's in Baltimore?
John.
It's like John Harbaugh in Baltimore. Like,
yeah, but Kyle Shanahan's been to two Super Bowls. John Harbaugh hasn't sniffed a Super
Bowl. But sooner or later, you've got to get over the hump.
By the way, on the Kyle Shanahan thing, how is it Mike Shanahan not in the Hall of Fame? That is so weird.
I don't know.
I mean, his offense, I mean, look at the Mike Shanahan coaching tree.
Revolutionary.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. That is They Said It Part 1. We will get to They Said It Part 2 at 9 on this morning's show. News with Courtney coming up next.
It's a good one.
Yeah. That includes the wrong pizza topping rage, which led to knife violence in Virginia, and the horror of the stuffing crisis in this country, which is coming. Not a lot of people know about it, but it's coming in the next couple of days.
Quick, great note in the Twitch chat. Wiggy, imagine if Bill goes to the Dolphins and breaks Shula's record as the Dolphins head coach.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I mean, that's a team that doesn't need a lot.
No?
He'd like that
Miami, too. No.
And doesn't Stephen Ross...
Would he really like being having to coach Tua? I don't know that he particularly cares for Tua.
Yeah, but
have no sense on it.
He'll bring in his, it won't be Matt Patricia, but let's say he brings in his Josh McDaniels to coach Tua. Like, he's going to be handled. And Tua's got a personality that's not like Mac Jones.
I don't know how much validity you think there is to her, but Diana Russini keeps saying that, like, quote, that Bill has his eyes on Jacksonville. That Bill Belichick wants that job.
Yeah, total control, baby. Shad Khan will give him complete and total control.
But she's flat out saying that Bill wants that job, as if she is hearing that.
I think Shime's right. Bill wants total control. So I don't know of other organizations, i.e. Cowboys, that will give him that.
Yeah. All right, news with Courtney coming up next.
It's time for...
Formaggio, the mozzarella, the cream cheese, the ricotta, the parmesan drizzled with some honey on it. That sounds pretty good.
The news.
Finagle the bagel.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Your favorite accoutrements?
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
Wrong guy, brother.
On WEEI. What do you think they would?
Curtis brought it up at the beginning of the show, but parts of Blue Hills remains closed with crews continuing to battle that brush fire this morning. It's just one of 400 across the Commonwealth.
Milton is on fire.
Yes.
They can't put it out.
Right. And the rain today, I'm guessing, will help a little bit, but we shouldn't. How much do we need, Curtis, to really to simmer this down?
A lot. And looking at the last weekly, you could say the show is on fire. So I don't know.
I took a 30-second shower this morning.
Good job.
For my fellow residents of the Commonwealth.
It's called the bird bath. Can't get nothing accomplished there. Just the hot spots.
I turn the shower on before I go in, and I let it run until I leave.
I asked Tonto if he left the dirty dishes in the sink because of the water conservation last night.
Yeah, that's probably it.
But no, that wasn't it. No. Here's Fire Chief Chris Madden of Milton on Boston 25.
With the wind conditions and the fire conditions, it's just so volatile right now. It took off to a quick approximately 20 acres within probably the first hour. Getting water to the top of the hill to fight the fire against the wind and the dry conditions was a challenge from the beginning.
Perfect time for Dale to deploy the Save Water Shower Together line. Went out and about.
Dale here.
I told you this.
I mean, it really
My invention would put all this stuff out.
Yeah, you want to take all the ocean water.
Not all of it. There's a lot of ocean water.
Just pour it all over the Commonwealth somehow. Probably a good idea.
It's pretty easy to do. I feel like I saw them. What the hell did I see them? Didn't they transport like an elephant with a helicopter? You telling me they can't do that?
It was a whale.
Yeah, it was a whale with a plane. It was Jim Irsay.
Okay,
that was a dark time on the show.
Wiggy's talking about the great film Dumbo Drop. Was that the name of that?
Yeah, that might have been the Dumbo Drop. Yes, I feel like I've seen multiple things getting you know, transported by helicopter. Right.
We also spent water. We also spent $300 million on a pier in Gaza that did nothing. So maybe we could do something here.
Do something here.
Right.
That's true.
Governor Healey signed the $4 billion economic development bill yesterday. Inside said bill, there's a clause that allows companies like Ticketmaster, who doesn't have already too much control, to control how you resell tickets if you cannot attend a game or a concert.
People are really upset about
this
when it comes to the governor here and the legislature. And I don't know why they did this.
So what it will require you to do is if you can't attend whatever event you bought the ticket for, you will have to sell the ticket through the original platform you bought it from. So you buy it from Ticketmaster, you would have to then sell it through Ticketmaster. And why? You already paid the money there.
Right.
Why
you
not?
Bought something, you want to sell it to somebody else?
Yeah.
How can they enforce that?
The Commonwealth just made it the law. Like, it's every ticket is digital now anyway, Sean. Mm-hmm. So you won't be able to forward it to anybody else if you haven't gone through them on it.
Really? That's so dumb.
It doesn't seem it's going to, a lot of people want to sell their tickets to friends or whatever. They want to sell them for a certain price. They want to control what the price. It doesn't
make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
So they want the government, Massachusetts government. Wants to be able to take that away from people?
Well, the government is not, I mean, it's like what they did is as a part of the economic bill, put this provision in, which gives those the power of those tickets to the original seller of the tickets.
And Ticketmaster is disgusting as is. So then you add in this now
that
more
Courtney
control.
Said that, not me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I love Ticketmaster, but what they did with the Taylor Swift concert tickets was
really
ridiculous.
Upset you? Yes.
Yeah, yes. We could hear from Deidre Cummings from Mass PIRG on BZ.
I can't resell it to anybody I want. I can't give it to my friends or family if I can't go. And so it's really harming fans.
Just stupid.
Yeah.
That is dumb right there.
Yeah. All right.
I warned all of you guys last week, but Stop and Shop is assuring their customers that while some of their shelves are empty due to a cybersecurity attack that happened a week ago, turkey and hams will be available for the upcoming holiday.
Oh, thank God.
We can hear from a shopper on Boston 25.
I was looking for some potatoes that were on sale. I'm not doing Thanksgiving. My daughter is, so she darn well better have gotten her turkey already, or we'll be having spaghetti and meatballs or something.
All right.
There was no potatoes when I was at Stop and Shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. None.
How do you like them? You like them mashed, or do you like them? You like them with a little cheese?
Well, I like my mashed potatoes from the box, and I use sour cream cheese in the mashed potatoes. Yeah. But a sweet potato mashed, I like the mashed and a real sweet potato.
Yeah,
sweet potatoes are gross.
Nothing beats Greg's easy potato casserole.
Everything you make is easy.
We need more things with your name on it.
Very simple. You go out and you get the Ore-Ida hash browns. You know those in the bag?
Okay.
You throw those in a casserole dish.
Boom.
You throw a little cream of chicken soup in there.
Okay.
And you throw a little cheese on the top of it. I prefer the cheddar. And then you bake that baby, and about 350 for about a half an hour, and boom, Curtis, you have Greg's easy potato casserole for the holidays.
Can I have a show idea? I think we can make. I think it's been relatively annual. Shine will be out on Wednesday, which means good day for a cooking event.
Ah, yes.
What do you say we each bring in a Thanksgiving dish?
Oh, okay. And see, and do a blind taste test on who has created the best dish.
Well, I can't cook, I'm not bringing anything in. I don't cook. I'm not a good cook, so believe me.
Okay,
you think Shime's potatoes are bad? You would not want to try
mine. Maybe you could just try for
yeah, you could be a tester. Taste tester.
You could try for the show to create something.
I want
Black
Mac.
Just follow a recipe. Don't you follow all the Instagram hacks when it comes to, like, cooking stuff?
No, because I don't. Like, that's the one thing that I never, like, you know, I never did. I never watched my grandmother. Didn't really watch my mother.
Get a crock pot.
We call that voila magic, and I don't even really do that.
Crock pot is easy. You turn the thing on, you throw anything in there, and three... three, but how, what's and a, three hours later, you have like a saucy, soupy meal.
You think that you make like a three-course meal every single night with the way that you talk about cooking. It's unbelievable.
Take a couple breaths of chicken.
Right, your kitchen needs you to reintroduce yourself to
You can throw in some of the Rouse tomato and Alfredo sauce.
Yeah.
Let that thing cook. Go back to it a couple hours later when you get home from work or if you're working from home.
Big bang, boom.
Use a fork. You got to shred the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Throw some cheese in there, and you have...
Sounds like a lot of work.
You have an award-winning Italian meal.
I have a few recipes that I'm like, ooh, which one should I go with for Wednesday?
Well,
do I want to do an app, or do I want to do a side? Thank you.
Yeah, your potatoes were good last time
you
brought them.
Well, they weren't her potatoes.
Well, they're Auntie Kathy's, I made them.
She tried to pass them off as hers, but they really were Auntie Kathy's.
I think I said from the beginning they were Auntie Kathy's.
I don't think you did.
Yeah, I did.
And I don't think you even made them. I think Auntie Kathy made them.
Oh, no. I made them again last weekend.
Greg, I don't want to go back to that time because you're happily with a lovely woman.
Yes.
But I would say that if you're going to go over who made what when your meatball contest happened, I would suggest you are being fraudulent.
Yeah, I mean, those meatballs that I passed off as my own were made by the raging narcissist that I used to date.
All right. They were good, those meatballs, though.
We are going to take
Greg coming for jugulars.
We are going to take a quick break, but we will be right back.